Moncrief on News Talk.
That was a clip about saying hello to the bus driver, something that bores the arse off Declan Buckley, as he was just saying there.
He never said that. The bus driver never.
I didn't know you were on air.
No.
I don't take the bus.
Only Lucy takes the bus.
But I wave at them from the outside. God bless
hello.
You for your work.
Thank you for the job you're doing.
Yeah, but not for me, obviously.
Have I ruined the show?
No, Henry will be talking about that later on.
Whether that's dying out or not.
Anyway, Barbara and Declan are here, as you heard there. And here's your starter for 10. I'm looking for advice on how to deal with an issue. I'm a stay-at-home mother, and I'm very fortunate that we were in the position financially to do this when our children were young. I left a good job to do this, and we always agreed that when our youngest started school, I'd return to work. Roll on 9 years and five children later. Whoa. She's put in a serious shift. My time to return to work is almost upon us. Our youngest starts school in September. We have a childcare sorted for September onwards. However, my husband works shift, and my boss, who was my previous boss, has welcomed me back and is accommodating my return on opposite shifts to my husband. What's really upsetting me is my husband is not supporting my return to work.
Of course he's not.
And it's like a hindrance to him. It basically means that he has to get his finger out of his backside and step up. He actually has to make a lunch or brush hair or hang out clothes. He can't understand why I want the stress of work when we don't need it financially. He doesn't get the fact. I want my own money. I want to buy myself expensive perfume or clothes that I had before we had our family. I want to use my brain again. I want to set an example to my children that you work when you can. He keeps telling me to buy what I want. But I've never, ever been dependent on someone. Even when I was working before the children, I was putting money away from my lunches, meets up with friends, etc. Because I knew I was going to stop working while the children were young. It upsets me that he values his career. He doesn't value my years of hard work in college, in the workforce, or even my pension. I probably come across as ungrateful because he's really a good provider and a loving husband. But I also resent the fact that he gets to go to work and have work nights out. His time off is valued because he had a few hard days at work, whereas I'm at home. And sure, what would I need time to myself for? How do I get him to see my point of view without it being an argument? Here is Barbara here to tell you that all men are bastards.
I'm just getting out my soapbox now. I'm about to stand on it.
Thought you were getting a shotgun out there for a moment.
Exactly. Yeah. So strap in. I've got a few things to say about this. There are a couple of things in this letter that made me really, really cross. And the first one is the comment and the whole thing about the money. As someone who equally decided to take a decade out to be at home when my children were young, and again, like this woman, I was very privileged. It was a different time. But I was privileged to be able to do that, and I get that. But one of the things that we discussed in depth before I did that was the whole issue of money. I was very clear in my own head, and I think all women or men, whoever it is that makes this decision to stay at home, I was very clear in my head that I was still working, but just in a job that had no title and clearly had no remuneration. Mm. So that the fact that my husband earned the money, it wasn't his money. It was our money. And we operated joint bank accounts to which I had, you know, complete access, full transparency. I said, I'm never, ever going to ask you for permission, you know, to buy anything or do anything that I want to do. And that was the only basis on which we moved forward. And that worked. So I'm annoyed that this woman thinks she currently is not able to spend the money that the husband earns and that he couldn't earn to the extent that he does unless somebody was at home doing his childcare for free, which she is. And the fact that she said that even before kids came along, she was putting money away for those years that she might be at home kind of melts my head. And I think we think it's kind of very feminist to say, oh, you should always have your own money. And, you know, I beg to differ. I think if you are happy to commit to another person and share and take on a mortgage with them and have children with them, that you should be able to commit to having complete fairness and equality when it comes to the finances and the money. And if I personally think, and again, I mean, I have a daughter who's a young mother with kids. I honestly think that we would have a better world if we could facilitate one parent, or if there is only one parent, the parent staying at home to look after the children, if that should be what they wish to do, certainly like this woman, until they start school. Anyway, at the end, the second thing that annoyed me was when she said that she's looking forward to being able to use her brain again, implying that, you know, people who are at home, mainly women, looking after the kids and running a household does not require brain input. Working in the home, raising kids and running a house is work and does require your brain. And from my experience, it's very often parents who are doing that role that actually do a lot of the extracurricular things in society as well, in the local school, in the local community, right, on the residents' association, all of that.
Well, I mean, there's a mental load, but that's probably maybe different to using your brain. Like, looking after kids is boring. You're doing the same crap over and over again. Put your shoes on, put your shoes on, put your shoes on, you know.
And so is housework. I think housework.
And so is work. Anybody's job. Exactly. Come on, get
it's
real.
Repetitive. No, so I don't totally said that. Last thing I'm going to say is, at the end of the letter, says he values his career, doesn't value her years of hard work in college. I don't fully understand that. She also resents the fact that he gets to go to work and have his nights out and his time off is valued and all that kind of stuff. So it seems to me that this is about more than her just going back to paid work. I think that there's a kind of simmering resentment, obviously, over years that needs to be aired between the two of them. Finally, however, I do think she's absolutely right in trying to make it clear to him now that her going back to paid work means he's going to have to step up to the plate and do 50% of all the stuff that she has been doing on her own up to now. And I think that that is really important that she does that. And I'm still trying to redress that balance.
But sure, he knows that. That's why he doesn't want to go back to work.
Oh, it doesn't suit him for her to go back to work. Yeah. No, not at all. But I said, I think you do have to be very, very definite about that, you know, that you need to do half of the whatever it is at home.
Is that your phone?
Yeah.
How do you turn on the washing machine?
Something like that, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Where is the washing machine?
It's in the ladies' quarters.
Yeah.
Look, I a lot of what you said, I completely agree with a lot of what you said there. But I kind of feel that the conversation about money seems to be the very useful red herring that you can kind of swap out or push into this conversation when the real topic isn't really about the money. Because you said it yourself, if somebody wants to stay at home and be a stay-at-home parent and they want to do that, if they have the financial resources to do that, they should be able to do that. The money kind of comes into it as a facilitation of what people want to do based on who they are as people. And I think at the core of this story is a woman who feels that her role as a mother, which she never says that she didn't enjoy having, is only part of who she is and that she wants to reclaim other parts of her identity. Mm. This is, and then the husband starts, we don't need for you to go back to work and use your brain or whatever way, because we have the money for you to stay at home and stay being a mother. Where she's saying, when I want, she knows that. She wants to be able to go and do other parts and kind of actualize other parts of her identity. Yeah. And particularly now that she's done, she's got five kids, you know, she's done a lot of that already. Mm. So she's just kind of wants to play a different song for a while, which I totally support.
And I think in that instance,
I think from her perspective, he is being very irritating, if not disingenuous, when he talks about a financial answer to a problem that's nothing to do with money.
It's totally, don't go back to work, have a handbag.
And it's sort of...
But that comes from the wrong foundation of him being able to say, have a handbag.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be able to say, have a handbag. Do you know what I mean? She should be able to say, I'm buying a handbag whenever the hell she wants to buy a handbag. It's not his money, it's their money.
No, absolutely. At the same time, though, I can see the kind of point she's making that there's a certain satisfaction of buying that handbag with money she's earned herself.
There's not.
Okay.
There's not. Yeah. Because, you know,
take down capitalism. Yeah. Go on, do it, Barbara.
No, there isn't. No,
strip it all back.
If you have a joint bank account, I don't care who puts the money in.
You just know how to take it out.
And as long as I know how to take it out, that's grand.
Yeah.
It's not his money.
No.
He couldn't work. His money would be severely reduced if he had to pay for childcare to look after the five children.
Right.
But she was doing it at home.
Again, so money in and out of a bank account, all that stuff aside, the reality of it is about how we value the various roles that are required
and
to
we
create
don't value the role
families
of being at
and
home.
Homes and all that.
Yeah.
We don't.
No.
And we don't. But that also, so maybe there's a mirror required as well as a pointing finger here, because maybe her own valuing of what she's done for the last number of years needs to be evaluated as well, and going, well, actually, maybe you don't feel like you were using your brain. Maybe you don't feel like you were kind of fulfilling all of who you were as a person. But it was a very worthy and a very valuable and maybe not paid role, but actually it does have a financial value. You know, the way that the government is always trying to say, oh, this is the knock on value of X, Y or Z thing that happens in the country. The roll on economic impact was much bigger because they use a thing called a multiplier. Yeah, but
I'll tell you something from absolute hard experience is there is no value put by anybody on the role of mainly women, but I would think equally if a man was if a man was doing it, he'd get more kudos for being a fantastic guy doing it. But certainly women who work in the home and stay home and look after the children and run the house, there is no value attached to that by anybody. There isn't even a proper title for that job.
My dad stayed at home as a stay-at-home dad in the 1970s and he was actually mocked and laughed at because that's the way, you know. So,
but nowadays you'd be thought of being a great fella altogether.
Right, because, you know.
Because you're doing something.
Because my dad was too ahead of his time.
Yeah.
But look, I think the fundamental point that I was trying to make is that this is not a point about money. This is a point about respect for yourself and what you're doing, but also the respect for you to make kind of choices.
But isn't it about society respecting, not her respecting? Because she probably knows deep down the whole reason she did this is probably because she knows the value of it. If you can do it, to be at home and with your kids, especially when they're young. So there is a value that she knows about it. It's getting everybody else to understand that value and also countering this kind of feminist narrative of you need to have your own money in order to be, you know, a fully rounded, proper woman.
But there is also a counter argument to that, which is about the fact that she's moving into the workforce is not her moving away from motherhood, because there are so many mothers out there who have to balance working and being a mother. And I know what you're saying about sometimes they might prefer to not have to make that compromise or make those choices. Yes, the world is difficult. We constantly have to make these kind of difficult choices. But at the end of the day, if you have a choice between, you know, doing what's best for your family and then also simultaneously doing something that you would want to do as well.
But the thing is, we see it as a permanent situation, and it's not, as this woman proves. If you decide for one of you to stay at home, that's only for a number of years. Do you know, your kids are only young for 5 minutes. You're not going to be at home forever. So it's only a temporary thing. And I think this constant kind of setting it up as being a permanent state of affairs, it's not a permanent state of affairs. You know, it is, as this woman has done, what has she done, 10 years or whatever, at home. And that was the same as what I did. That's a very small part of your life, really. Do you know, it's not a permanent situation. But
I think it's the amount of effort, though, involved. Because I think, like Sean said earlier on, her husband knows what's involved. He doesn't want to do that work. He doesn't want to brush hair.
He
doesn't
want to,
hurt the cats into whatever.
Well, can I read out a few comments from...
will I leave now?
Yeah. Doesn't it depend on how much money she will be earning? If it's not a lot, then I can't understand why she'd want to work.
It's
not about that, but I took from her email anyway that she works in the same place as her husband, so it would be, not an insubstantial amount. I couldn't put up better myself than Barbara. Stay at home mothers. The only thing I would add is this: if the mother doesn't feel her work in the home is valued, she must leave her husband at home for a weekend or possibly longer as the sole parent, and he will be very enlightened as to her value. Someone else says, I 100% agree. I gave up a career and I took a step down and I worked part time so my husband could start his own business. He's been very successful, and I don't think he would have been as successful if I had not given up work so he could give 100% to the business. Yep. I agree that I don't think two people in a relationship can have big careers and raise a family, either sex. I do sometimes feel undervalued and the sacrifice dismissed. Somebody else suggests she needs to get her pregnant again. That'll take the wind out of her sails. Why does that woman have to listen to her husband regarding getting a job? Go back to work if you want to. I would discuss it with him, but I would do what I wanted in the end. He or she will get used to it. And somebody else says, simmering resentment is just part of marriage. The thing is, though, and everything you had to say was so fascinating, but you ignored the last line. How do I get him to see my point without it being an argument?
Yeah, you need to sit down. And there's a couple of things. Like, she needs to sit down and... I mean, part of this should have been done ages ago. But the immediate issues that she needs to address is that she is going back to work and that he needs to step up to the plate. And in my experience, it's saying to your partner, male partner, now look, you need to pull your weight more in the house, you might as well waste your time. You need to write down Your responsibility is going to be cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Your responsibility is going to be pushing the Hoover around. You're responsible also for doing whatever. So that he's very clear that they are his jobs. Because men do not see, whether it is on purpose or just some kind of evolutionary problem, they do not see what needs to be done. Especially when you've been the one that's been doing it for years.
And so when the robot vacuum cleaners come into this?
Yeah. They're rubbish anyway. They don't do the corners.
They are life changing, especially if you've animals.
Yeah.
My robot Hoover is called Shirley, and she is the best thing that's happened to me in the last 6 months. I love her to bit. But you still have to take out the Hoover once a week to go to the places that Shirley can't go.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if you have an animal or animals.
OMG, this is my life without the handbag. So angry and upset now. My husband went to work away. I don't know. We don't know the rest of that story, but we kind of get the gist of it. This illuminates what you're saying. My brother-in-law gave my 10-year-old son €50 for delivering flyers in housing estates for a day. My 9-year-old daughter minded his 8-month-old baby for the same day. He paid her a fiver.
There you go. There you go. QED.
Yeah. QED. Oh, that really kind of shows the difference in value. I've been going out with my current boyfriend for about 6 months now, and things are going great. I've even brought him home to visit my granny, and he will join us on a family holiday in Spain in a few weeks' time. Our sex life is one of the best things about our relationship because he's really broadened my horizons in that area. However, he's really keen to film us being intimate, and he said it would be a major turn on. I'm worried about it because you read so many horror stories about revenge porn. To put my mind at rest, he suggested that we film it on his old Sony camcorder. Therefore, there will be no digital footprint, as this device uses old-fashioned videotape. Initially, I felt relief, but my friend said that filming sex is a risky thing to do on any format. I really want to do this because saying no will be such a disappointment to him, and I don't want to put a dampener on what has been such an exciting sexual awakening for me so far. What should I do?
There you go, Declan, now.
There you go, like, Declan, now.
You get out your soapbox now, and off you go.
Because of the technology.
Yeah.
Look, this issue is not about the core issue here is about doing something that you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with doing something, you shouldn't do it. Yeah. Nobody should be able to convince you in any way to do something that you're not feeling comfortable with. Now, in this particular story, it feels to me that there's a little bit of naivety or a little bit of kind of lack of understanding about what is involved. Like, this is about somebody making a recording of you doing something that they will then have a copy of forever. Now, whether that copy is going to be locked away, you know, underneath somebody's bed, or whether it's going to be something that potentially can be then transferred onto digital versions and put up on the internet for everybody to see, that's the risk that's involved by doing this. So it's important to realize that while the ask might sound like it's kind of a sexy, exciting kind of thing, the risk that you're thinking about is real. You're being intelligent, being aware of that. And my perspective would be that just being afraid of disappointing your partner shouldn't be the reason why you agree to do something. You should actually enter it with your eyes as wide open as possible and think about all those risks. And, you know, the reason why there are laws against revenge porn is because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. So, you know, every single person to whom it happens at the time that they made the video or they were filmed, if they were aware it was being filmed, thought that they were doing with somebody who they really cared about.
Yeah.
This had never happened to me, but it did. So from that point of view, you know, you need to protect yourself. And I think also, you know, what is it? Maybe you need to interrogate exactly what your boyfriend wants to get out of it, because it sounds to me like he is trying to convince you to do something that
to me seems a bit,
if he can't notice that you're not comfortable doing something, well, then he's not treading very carefully with your feelings. Mm. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're not having your kind of consent treated with respect, then that's a kind of a red flag to me.
Mm. Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree. And but I think the kind of nice thing about this is that this letter writer says that, you know, he has really broadened her horizons in this area, and it's been a whole sexual awakening. And I think that's part of why she's now a bit conflicted about whether she should take this step forward into doing this. And I mean, you know, I get it that, you know, it can, I'm sure, seem to be very kinky and a turn on and all the rest of it. But I would absolutely agree with you. And the other thing I would say is that, like, they're only together 6 months. That's not that long.
Yeah.
If you were going to agree to do this, you would want to 100% trust the person that you are with. Mm-hmm. Because as you say, Declan, like, I mean, whether it's recorded on an old Sony camcorder or on his phone, it can end up on the internet.
Or tasteful being drawings shared. Or etchings.
Yeah. Like,
it can be, at the end of the day, you know.
It can be shared, whether it's shared publicly or shared in a WhatsApp group or shared with his friends or shared wherever. So, you know, I would agree with you. If you're not comfortable doing something, and clearly this woman isn't, she's talked about it and her friends have warned her about it. Then to me, the answer has to be, not at the moment.
And for me as well, I don't want to sound like a real, like, you know, being like I'm clutching my pearls about this whole thing. What I'm saying is that if you can listen to your boyfriend's pleas, and you can also listen to your friend's warnings, and you don't have a clear answer on what's going on, that's because you don't have a clear answer, because you need to disregard what he's asking you and you need to disregard your friend's warnings, and you need to work out for yourself what you think is the right thing to do for you, because then you can own your choices and you can own your decision, and then whatever happens.
Although I do think when people give you advice, you have to listen.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can take it or leave it, but you have to listen.
This kind of thing, like, there seems to be, generally speaking, when somebody has a relationship with somebody, there's various big steps. What, you know, one is going home to meet the parents. That's a big thing. You kind of trust them a bit more, or they're worth showing off. Then moving in with them is a big step.
Yeah.
Then getting married is a big step. Buying property together is a huge step.
Yeah.
Making a porn video together should be way off that list.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
This is after you've bought property and you trust the person 100%.
That's a very tangible kind of marker where you are at in a relationship. Once you buy a property together then maybe.
Yeah, then you can get the camcorder out if it's still working.
Yeah.
My girlfriend recently celebrated her 28th birthday, and among the gifts she received was a bottle of Jo Malone perfume from a male friend. I looked it up afterwards, discovered it cost around €140, which is considerably more than I spent. The thing is, it's not really about the money. What bothers me is that he seems like a very personal and expensive present for someone who's supposedly just a friend. It has left me wondering whether this lad has feelings for my girlfriend, and whether she might have feelings for him too. I haven't said anything because I don't want to come across as jealous, insecure boyfriend who's keeping score of who spent what. My girlfriend has given me no reason not to trust her. But I'm not sure if I believe friendships between men and women can ever be platonic. I can't shake the feeling that this lad is showing me up. It also feels as though he's making a statement, whether to my girlfriend or to me. Every time I see the perfume on her dressing table, I find myself wondering what his intentions really are. Am I reading too much into an expensive gift, or is it reasonable to think that there may be more behind it? Should I raise it with my girlfriend? Would that only make me look petty and jealous?
Oh, wow. I mean, the male friend of the girlfriend has really hit a nerve here with this fella and has really shaken his confidence, like, a lot. Okay. I mean, the first thing is, you know, Ash, what did he say? It cost 100 and something euros.
140.
140. Like, that is an expensive present for
it
sure.
It is, yeah.
But then I'm wondering, is the fella who bought the present, maybe he's loaded. Maybe he went into BT's and he has no clue. He tapped his phone and he's no clue what he spent on the perfume. So there is that possibility. What would be more interesting from my perspective, I hope he didn't say this, but I don't think he did. What would be more interesting from my perspective would be to know if this male friend of his girlfriend bought his girlfriend her favourite perfume.
Yes.
And, you know, is this a perfume that the girlfriend either wears all the time or that she wanted and she had expressed a desire to have this perfume? And I think that will tell him more than the actual just buying the perfume.
Absolutely, yeah.
So in other words, if it is her favourite perfume, well, then the fella who bought it for her knows her very well. Mm. Now, again, that's not necessarily a red flag. But if the boyfriend doesn't know what her favourite perfume is, he needs to up his game a little bit,
absolutely,
I would suggest.
That's
kind of where, at the core of this, though, is that, you know, if you're feeling jealous about something that's going on with your partner, that says more about your own insecurities than it does about your your partner's behaviour, particularly if you actually write down in English that your girlfriend hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You're actually saying that she hasn't hidden anything. She hasn't crossed any boundaries. She hasn't broken any promise to you. All she has is that she's got some guy who you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
He could be like a fabulously wealthy gay friend. You don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about him at all. And until you do, you're just creating this whole, you're projecting all of your own insecurities.
He's obviously not confident in the relationship, though. Like, I mean, you get that from it, that he's very
feeling
he's
guilty because he got her a scabby little present for her.
A skimmy present, but
well, can we assume maybe she knows the friend longer than she knows the boyfriend predates?
Yes, I am assuming. Yeah, and I mean, I do think men and women can have platonic relationships, do you know? As you say, he could be a gay friend.
But it doesn't even have to be gay, in my view. I think
that a gay friend would get, actually.
Depends on the kind of people they are, and having a friend who is of, you know, if you're a heterosexual person of the opposite gender, if you're in a relationship, might trigger your partner if they don't have trust with you. But that's about your trust in your relationship. It's nothing to do with who your friends are.
Yeah.
Friends, you know, friends shouldn't threaten a relationship.
No, the only thing as I would say as well is that if this friend of the girlfriend has got intentions towards the girlfriend, he'll make another move. You know what I mean? There'll be another move coming down the tracks. So, I mean, what I would say
and
to our friend
here is the kind of person that's going to have her head turned by, you know, by the amount of figure in the... it's, you know, like an auction where the amount has to go up each round. I'll see you, I'll raise you a fiver. I mean, if that's the you know, then whatever. I mean, you know, it's if she's going to be bought in that way, then what they have
isn't
real.
You know, I want to have loads of kids and I want to stay at home and not have a problem with having loads
there
of money.
You know.
As long as he gives me Jo Malone perfume. So this guy, are you saying this guy should just shut up?
I think he just has to work out why he feels insecure about the whole situation, because at the end of the day, like Barbara just said there, if she's going to be bought, she's going to be bought anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And if she's not going to be bought, well, then he just needs to not ruin it for himself by making a horrible
accusation. I think he's overthinking it a little bit, and he needs to calm down and just let it pass. If this other fella has intentions towards the girlfriend, he will make another move in a while and then he can deal with that. But at the moment, I don't see any red flags in this at all.
Yeah. One texter says she's definitely riding them. the perfume is a webcam. €16 on Temu.
Oh, God.
Wow. Oh, it's hilarious how many texts are coming in spelling Joe incorrectly.
Joe Malone.
They're spelling it like he's a bloke.
For God's sake.
That's a completely different person.
He's cool, man.
Just going back to our first question about, you know, the woman who wants to go back to paid employment rather than going back to work. She was working all along. I know someone who left the husband in charge of the kids for a few days. He sent the daughter to school with no knickers on. So that's something you're going to risk. Declan and Barbara, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.